This is the eighth lesson in this series for this week, or this month, quarter. I'll get it right one of these days. And this is the last lesson we'll have. So next week we have a special activity, and the following week's our gospel meeting. So it's kind of bittersweet that it's ending. I hope and pray that you all have learned some things that will help you as an individual in your addressing sin as it comes up in our lives. And I hope this evening that we can be encouraging as well to continue that objective, is to give you tools that you can use. So thank you, Cindy, for doctoring up our title slide here. After 7 weeks of this poor guy with a ball and chain treading water, he's finally being rescued. So you can take that literally from the sense of, you know, we are rescued from our sin through the blood of Jesus. And without that, we would just be sinking in the mire. And we're grateful for that. And the topic tonight is the beauty of the forgiveness of our sins. Now, tonight we're going to have a little bit of a different approach. I'm going to have four topics that we talk about. And in between each topic, we're going to have one of the men come up and lead us in a prayer. What better way for us to end this series than praying together about one of the most important things in our lives, and that's our sins and the forgiveness of those sins and avoiding sinning. So these will be prayers of encouragement, prayers of acknowledgement with some of the things that we've done, some of the things that we've learned. And those men will come up after I say a few things, and then they'll have a short prayer, and then I'll come back up and we'll conclude at the end of this. But thank you again for being here, and I hope this is going to be useful for you. These are the topics that I'll cover tonight: our forgiving Father, the blood of Christ, our submission to God, and forgiving ourselves as we forgive others, or and others. And so those men that are listed will come forward and give us a prayer in between each of these sessions. Now, it might be a silly question, but I think it's pretty important. Are you forgiven? Are you forgiven? So how many answers can you give to that question? Either you are forgiven or you're not forgiven. Now that seems pretty simple. However, many people in this world can't answer that either way. They say, maybe, maybe not, I don't care. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. But each one of us can state emphatically that as a Christian and as someone who's living a godly life and living to please God, can say emphatically, I am forgiven of my sins. And we need to say it strongly, because it's not a matter of doubt. If you doubt that you're forgiven of your sins, then Jesus' blood that we're talking about tonight is for vain. And he lied to you. But we know God does not lie. We know he keeps his promises. So we need to have that confidence as we walk in our daily life that we have been forgiven from our sins. And we are continually washed in that blood of Christ. Now, when we do sin, we need to take remedy for it. We need to repent and turn again. And part of the thing we'll talk about tonight in our lesson is we need to turn to our brothers and sisters and to our family members and those that can help us, and pray for God's strength to overcome the things that are in your life. So So, our forgiving Father. Again, these kind of things we hear all the time as we go through life and go through studying God's Word. But do we ever really ponder about how great our forgiving Father is in forgiving us? What a gift that is, that forgiveness of sin. And when you look through Genesis to Revelation and study all the things that have gone on in the characters in the Bible, we can see a pattern from the very beginning to the very end that God is a loving God. God is a forgiving God. God is a long-suffering God. So it's not just at the end here that he's decided to forgive our sins. It was from the very beginning, before we existed. So Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And it's not just a flippant pardon. Our sins are forgiven, forgotten, not even brought up. Now, I'd like to ask you, again, maybe a silly question, but if you owed a great debt to someone, say your mortgage payment, and you paid it off, would you turn around the next day or the next week and pay it again? That debt's been paid, hasn't it? It's the same thing as with sin. Our debt has been paid by the blood of Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." There's two words in that passage that are used multiple times. One is all. Not just some, but all. And the other is comfort. So we can take comfort from God in his forgiveness of our sins. In that passage that we all know in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Our God is rich in mercy, our Father. So with that, Brother Freddie Gaskin is going to come up. Freddie, you're here. And he'll lead us in a prayer, and then we'll take up the next topic.
Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come to you at this time, O Lord. Thanking you, Father, for all your kind and wonderful blessings. Thanking you, Father, for waking us up this morning while we slept, keeping us safe from all harm and all danger. Father, help us to recognize who you are and how wonderful and kind that you are. Father, thank you for always being here, there for us. Whenever we call upon you, you're always there and you never sleep. Father, we come to you asking your forgiveness of our sins, thanking you, God, for pardoning us abundantly. Thanking you, God, for being a merciful God, a God that forgives the vilest of sinners. Thank you, Father, for giving us your best, your precious Son, Jesus Christ. You were willing to sacrifice him for us, and it pleased you, Lord, in doing so. In spite of all of his pain, all of his suffering, you gave him up for us, for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for laying our sins upon him.
Father, he who knew no sin was willing to become sin on our behalf. Thank you for allowing him to bear all our sins in his precious body on the old rugged cross, who was willing to take the full wrath of your fury, the just for the unjust. Thank you for your love for all of us, Father. In the precious holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Freddie. So the next topic is the blood of Jesus. And it is the remedy for our sins. Contrasting that with what the world sees sometimes. It's not time which passes that forgives our sins. It's not the fact that we've sinned and forgotten about it, or sinned and we just put it behind us and not sought forgiveness. And more than anything, I think these days, it's not about good works. We do not deserve forgiveness for our sins. There is not one single thing or one multitude of things that we can do to deserve the forgiveness of our sins. You will see many in the religious world, and I use that in quotes, say rote prayers, make sacrifices in some institutions, do rituals and things like that to earn their way into heaven. But it's not that. It's not money. There are those that think their money can get them into heaven. They get their name on a building or a brick in the floor, or, you know, and that's my gift, and therefore I deserve to be in heaven. It's not the virtues of our relatives. So our mothers and fathers, our sons or daughters, our wives or husbands, their righteousness will not get us into heaven and will not forgive our sins. It's not distance, literal distance. Who do we read about in the Old Testament who tried to get away from his sins by distance? How about Jonah? God told him, go to Nineveh. Where did he go? As far in the world then that he could get. He went away. Distance, literal distance, doesn't separate us and doesn't provide for our sins. And not education. You can get a doctoral degree with honors from you name the university, but that does not forgive our sins. So what does forgive our sins is only Christ, and through him, through his blood. As we're studying tonight, that blood is what shed on the cross for us leads to the forgiveness of our sins. And I'll just say now that just Jesus shedding his blood for our sins isn't enough for us to be forgiven. You remember the guy on that cover page picture? His hand is reaching out, isn't it? Reaching out for that lifeline, that life-saving, life ring. We have to reach out too and obey his will in order to be forgiven of our sins. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 12, and if you've studied Ephesians with Dan before or even David, you know, one of the phrases that's used the most in that letter to the Ephesians is in him. So this starts out in chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And then the writer of Hebrews says it again in chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. How much more should the blood of Christ, and this is being compared to the sacrifice of animals in the Old Testament, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And in that passage in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, but God demonstrates, he didn't just tell us something, he demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So brothers and sisters, we have the blood of Christ as the central part of our forgiveness for our sins. Without that, there is no other way. And now we'll have a prayer led by Islay. Thank you.
Let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are a just God that would never prescribe a punishment that does not fit the offense. Therefore, we understand that since our punishment is eternal, our offense must be finite, must be infinite, Lord. We all owe you an infinite debt. We have all sinned. We, as finite beings, cannot expect to chip away at our infinite debt with our finite resources, expecting to eventually satisfy you, an infinite holy God that is just. So we have an insurmountable problem, an infinite sin debt to you with only finite resources to pay off that debt. That debt will never be satisfied. However, what is impossible with man is possible with God. He tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You also tell us in Acts 13:38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the laws of Moses. In Ephesians chapter 1, you tell us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And in Romans 5, 8 through 11, through 9, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, you tell us, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, you tell us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Dear God, your love towards us is undeniable, demonstrated by your gift, the sacrifice of your Son. You have satisfied our infinite debt with his blood. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Amen.
Thank you, Isley. Our submission to God. If we didn't submit to God, would our sins be forgiven? We know they can only come through Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So how can we submit to God without knowing his word and knowing what he teaches us? So we must submit to God's word, not man's. In Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. Jesus himself is an example of his submission to God. It's an example for us how we should submit to God. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So our obedience and our submission to God is part of these steps of salvation. And we all know that we must repent. You know, we're speaking to people here that are Christians and have been for a number of years. Some new children, new babes in Christ here. Let me put it that way. But we know the passage in Acts, chapter 2, verse 37 through 39. And this is when Peter was preaching to the group gathered at Pentecost in Jerusalem. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So we have to take that step of repentance. But that's not it. We have to live a godly life. Yes. We have to continue in his steps. In Romans chapter 12, I'll just say I remember a brother who's not here with us anymore. He's in another town, but he was in Vietnam for some time. And he memorized the whole chapter of Romans 12. And he could recite it even today, I'm sure. But what a memory to carry with you in our walk on this earth. So just the one part of Romans 12 is the first two verses, first two verses. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So each day of our lives needs to be a living sacrifice. That means what we do, what we say, what we look at, what we read, how we act to those around us. All are sacrificed to our Lord in our obedience to Him and under His submission. We are under His submission unto Him. So now John Holzer is going to come and lead us in a prayer.
Would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful, Father, that we have the opportunity to submit ourselves, that the creator of this world, the creator of all things, the creator of the very soul that we carry, has told us the wisdom and the truth. We pray, Father, that we'll see the submission to spiritual things and not fleshly things, that we'll push ourselves aside, that we'll come to your word and learn your ways. Father, as David wrote, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper." Father, help us to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, that you may exalt us in due time. And as Jesus, we read of Jesus, when he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Father, help us to examine that cross, to reflect on Jesus and what that meant to him when he took his cross after the beating, submitting to your will and dying on the cross for us. Finally, let us submit to God, resist the devil who will flee from us. Help us to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. Help us, Father, to cleanse our hands, purify our hearts, and not be double-minded. In Jesus' name, and amen.
The last passage tonight that we'll study, the last topic, is forgiving ourselves and others. We spoke about that in one of the lessons. I forget which one it was, but I think sometimes one of the hardest things for us to do is forgive ourselves after we have been forgiven, and not carry that burden along with us through our lives. In that point in time, we were talking also about the fact that the consequences of sin may be carried with us. There's some things that happen when we sin to our physical body, to loved ones, to actions that we've taken that carry long-term consequences. But even so, we can forgive ourselves and get the Lord's help to deal with those things that remain. And we also have to forgive others. So I mentioned earlier about this debt that's been paid. Why would you go back and pay it again? You know, if we don't forgive ourselves, we will continue to burden ourselves and keep us from accomplishing the godly life that God wants us to live. So we have to let it go, knowing that God has forgiven us, with the assurance that God has forgiven us. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And that remission of sins means they're wiped out. They are no more. Why should we continue to carry that with us? And I say this in encouragement, not as chastisement. When we truly repent and we truly are forgiven by God, let it go. Let the sin go. David forgave himself, didn't he? And we have some beautiful psalms that go through his process of forgiving himself. Psalms 51 is one of those. That's a passage we read a few weeks ago. And also the 23rd Psalm. We don't often look at that as a psalm of David forgiving himself. But the Lord is my shepherd. And so on. So also, forgiving others. Is that easy to do? Well, we say sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Especially when someone has wronged you. Whether it be at work, whether it be in the church, in the family, you know, among relationships out in the world, husbands and wives, sons and daughters. Do we truly forgive them? Can you imagine the wars that are being fought even today? If there was just a means of forgiving the first wrong that started it, it'd be a different world, wouldn't it? But even we are caught up sometimes in wanting vengeance for the wrongs that the people have done. But those who sin or are disciplined is one of the topics that I wanted to speak of. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, Paul is speaking about the brother who in 1 Corinthians, he told the brethren, because of his sin, cast him out. Do not associate with him. In this second letter, evidently that brother had repented. And here we have Paul's direction to the brethren there. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. So that, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you, reaffirm your love for him. That's an example that we all ought to take to heart. And it's difficult to do with the egregiousness of sins that people commit. But if we can't forgive our brothers, how does Jesus forgive us? So one another, that's a good word study to do in your personal Bible study. Just look at all the passages that say one another. One of those passages is in Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3. He says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do, or you must do also. So just like Christ forgave us, we're not told you might forgive others. It says we must forgive others, just as Christ forgave us. So after this, Eugene is going to come up and give us a prayer. Eugene, are you here? Oh, there you are.
Let us go to our Heavenly Father. Holy and righteous, most gracious Father, we come before you knowing that you are the creator of the heavens and earth and all things thereof, that you created us in your image according to your likeness, and we imitate you, our God. We know you are a God of love, grace, and many mercies, a long-suffering God. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, his sacrifice, his precious blood that cleanses us of our many sins. Father, we all have sinned and fall short of your glory, but we have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. As we journey through life, we make many decisions. Sometimes they are not good decisions. And at times we say things that should not have been spoken. Help us, God, to be like your servant, King David. When we recognize our sins, may we come to you with a heart of repentance, knowing you are a forgiving and merciful God, and we can forgive ourselves and have peace. As we ask forgiveness, Father, may we also recognize that we too must be forgiving of others who trespass against us if we are to be forgiven of our sins. Father, we also recognize some sins come with consequences, and we are chastened. Correction is necessary, and it is done in love. Father, as we grow in spirit and in truth, may we draw closer to you. May you find our lives to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Father, you are an awesome God, and to you we give all praise, honor, and glory, for you are an awesome God. These things we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, this is the end of our lesson tonight. And again, I learned a tremendous amount studying this with you. I'm grateful for that. I hope that we can all take away good things from this and lead your life in a more godly manner. And when you're tempted by those things, remember this little chart that I put up. How many choices are there between the initial desire that we have and finally fully enveloped in sin? In the case of David, he went through 8 different choices in between each of those steps. So just remember, when you have a desire that is an ungodly desire, you have a choice to make. What do I do next? I would encourage you to remember or memorize some passages that are specific to the kinds of desires you're trying to control. And immediately, when you see that happening, cite that passage. Say it out loud or say it under your breath. But thank you again for your kind attention, and I love you all, and I hope that all of us can one day be together with the Lord. Thank you.